In Acts chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 today, read down through verse number 17, and we're looking at Peter's deliverance from jail. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Let's read together. This is God's word. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come here today, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to worship you and to worship you through the preaching of your word. Father, we pray today that you would bless this time as we look to the scriptures for our strength. Father, there's no strength in us, but we look to your word as we know that in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. Lord, we pray today that you would work through your word. Come, Holy Spirit. Prepare our hearts, guide our minds and our thoughts as we spend this time in the Word this morning. We ask that you would do what we cannot. Not I, but Christ who lives in me. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful Bible story. It's not only a good thing. It's a good story because we read of deliverance, which is wonderful. It's full of humor, which is great. I just like this story. What we see in the gist here is Peter miraculously delivered from jail as the church prays for him. And I want to talk to you about that today, Peter's deliverance. And we see that first as we see prayer without ceasing in verse 1 through 5. In these first five verses, we read of Herod's plans to persecute the church, which leads to Peter's predicament as he finds himself in jail as a result of Herod's plans. Already, due to Herod's plans, James has been taken and he has been killed. And this is James, the brother of John. James and John, if you'll remember from Matthew, are the sons of Zebedee. And they are told in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 20, their mother comes to Jesus and says, When you come into your kingdom, can my boy sit on your right hand and on your left? And he says, You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink from the cup that I am? And they said, Oh, yeah, of course we are. And he said, Yeah, you really will drink from the same cup that I do. Speaking of their future martyrdom. And we see here James, the first martyred apostle. Herod observed in this happening that this pleased the people very much, which is sad, and that this is what pleased the Jewish people, seeing James killed. This pleased them. But he decided to do the same thing with Peter. If they liked it with James, then they'll love it with Peter. Well, as he takes Peter, he realizes that timing is an issue. This is a time of holy days. Luke gives us that in verse number 3 there in a parenthetical. He says, then were the days of unleavened bread. The end of verse number 4, he says he intended after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So Herod realizes, I can't do this right now. It's Passover. It's an important time for them. But as soon as that's over, we'll hold Peter in jail. As soon as that's over, we'll do just to him as we did with James. Well, I considered what is written here as it says that all that Herod did to hold Peter. And I think, well, Peter must be seen as a very great threat to those at that time. But to me, I think, Peter, you know, to them then they put four squads of four soldiers around the clock on Peter. So the four men all the time, and they would take shifts. And there were four different shifts. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, four guys were guarding Peter. And then the text later reads that he was in two chains between two soldiers. So, I mean, not only are there four men guarding him, but they're like right there on him. Their body heat got him warm, and he just nodded off on one of them's shoulder. You know, I mean, they're that close to Peter. And then two more at the door or the doors. There, four guys guarding. To me, I said, for Peter, you know, but then I'm reminded that at this time, political stability is very important in that area of the world. Now, we don't have that issue in the area of the world these days, right? Political stability is not an issue at all. We've fixed this problem. But then it really was a thing. And if you weren't looking up, I was grinning when I said that. I'm not an idiot. Well, maybe I am for other reasons, but not for that reason. So, two chains, two soldiers, two more outside. What in the world? This is just Peter. But then I think about political stability. Peter has thousands in the church at this point. And Peter's basically their earthly leader for this entire movement. And thousands upon thousands upon, well, you could say tens of thousands, really, are a part of this new movement. Also, it's reported, now I don't know that Herod would have seen it, witnessed it himself, but it would have been reported to him that Peter had done many signs and wonders. Now, this is not the same Herod in Jesus' day. You should study the Herods and know those in your timeline. It's important to know this is a descendant. It's a different guy. This is Herod Agrippa, I believe, is who we're dealing with here. I don't know that it says that in our text, but I believe that's historically who we're dealing with here. But he would have known. He would have known that Peter had gotten out once before. He would have known that Peter touched a man who couldn't walk, and he got up and he walked. So there is a threat here. So Peter is locked up in this way, and he is being held over. The worst thing about being held is knowing that you're going to be killed. The worst thing about being held, knowing you're going to be killed, is knowing exactly when it's going to happen. I mean, he knew, and the soldiers knew, and Herod knew. After Easter, that's it for Peter. So there he sits, and he's having to wait. Well, what does the church do? The church in Jerusalem begins to pray for Peter. Verse 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And evidently, they're having an all-night prayer meeting, because as we begin to see the account of Peter's deliverance, the angel comes, they're sleeping. Now, they could have been modern prisoners sleep all night and stay up all, or they sleep all day and stay up. They sleep all night, they sleep all day and stay up all night. There we go. Couldn't get my words to come out right there. And you ask them, you go talk to them, and they'll say, the time passes faster at night for whatever reason. So they try to sleep during the day, and they try to stay up at night. I don't know that that's what's happening here. I think probably they were sleeping at night, and they were awake in the day like we do now. So to me, that says this church was praying. Now, this is speculation, just using the evidence given in the text. This church was having an all-night prayer meeting for Peter. The text says prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. The Puritan preacher, Thomas Watson. I hope you've heard of Thomas Watson. He said this about all of this. He says, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. I really like that. That was good. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And here we see Peter's deliverance through prayer that was made without ceasing. You know, so many times in our lives, we long for deliverance. We find ourselves bound in a situation. We find ourselves in a time of need. We need to be delivered. We need God to intercede and help us in a situation where we cannot get out. Peter has four soldiers on him around the clock. He's bound with two chains. He's going to be killed. James is already going to be killed. Herod is serious here. He needs deliverance. So many times we find ourselves in some sort of a situation where we need deliverance, but we neglect to pray. Here we see the deliverance through prayer without ceasing. This occurs by the will of God because this church prayed. The next thing we see in verse 6 down through verse number 11 is the actual deliverance. And I want you to notice here how Peter's deliverance is not how we would always pray it to be. Peter has deliverance before ever being released. I want you to see that this morning. We pray for deliverance and we expect God to work by getting us out of the situation, but Peter gets deliverance while he's still in this situation. Notice this, verse 6. Peter had rest, though he was in chains. Okay? And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. How in the world does Peter have rest at this moment? I can't imagine this. You know, for me, I want God to give rest. I want him to deliver me and give me rest from my ailment, from my burden, from whatever it is that I need deliverance from, but I don't want to remain in the chains that I'm in. The deliverance is the removal of the chains. But here sits Peter, still in the physical chains, but he's sleeping in jail between two soldiers bound with these chains. How? How could Peter have rest here? Doesn't Peter know what day it is? I think Peter knows what day it is. I mean, we get pretty excited about Easter, but don't you think they did? I think they probably really did. I think Peter knows what day it is. Surely he is aware that his time is up, but there he sleeps. I'd be a nervous wreck. You'd be a nervous wreck. I mean, this is intense stuff here. But he sleeps so sound. Notice verse 7, how sound Peter is sleeping. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. You'd think that'd be enough to wake him up. There comes an angel. There's a bright light. I know in our house, whichever one of us gets up first, pulls that light, and the other says, it was me this morning. It's rare. She's usually already jogged 3 miles before I get out of bed. But I pulled that light this morning. I said, I'm sorry. She said, no, it's time to get up. A light shined. He didn't wake up. Makes me think of Barney Fife. He's sleeping in the jail, you know. Andy comes in and says, hey, Barney, it's time to get up. Barney doesn't get up. Hey, Barney! He doesn't get up. He claps his hand. He doesn't get up. He gets Barney's traffic whistle and blows the whistle really loud. He doesn't get up. Throws up his hand. He says, I don't know. I can't get Barney to wake up. And then it hits him. I'm going to try this. I don't think it'll work. And Barney wakes right up. And you know what Barney says? He says, all you got to do is just, and I'm up. Well, we tried everything else and didn't work. You're right, dude, just, and I'm up. Peter is sleeping so well that an angel comes in, the light shines, he doesn't wake up. Verse 7, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. He poked Peter in the ribs to get him to wake up. He had to nudge him. Peter is about to be killed. Do you see the humor that Luke's putting in this text a little bit here today? I like this. I'm glad that he gives it to us this way. Peter's in dire straits. Some of you came to church this morning in dire straits. You don't want to laugh about it. You don't want to grin about it. You've been watching too much news. You've been reading too much online. You've seen the political scandal this week. You've seen the mess that's going on in the world. You've got your own problems in your own house. You've got your own problems in your own job. You've got your own internal problems, maybe even in regards to your faith. You don't have rest. You need to be delivered. And here sits Peter. He is about to be killed for his faith. And he is sitting there sound asleep, getting a good night's sleep. In his mind, he's thinking, if they're going to kill me tomorrow, I'm going to be rested up tonight. This is as worried as Peter gets. So much so that the angel has to wake him up. Now, I can't tell you exactly how Peter has rest, though he is in chains. But I can tell you this. When there is prayer without ceasing, you will find rest. When you trust God fully, you can have rest no matter what your circumstance. Don't live your life as if God has to remove every single boundary before you can be satisfied. But this is the typical Christian. In the modern American church in 2016, God has to remove every single boundary before our lives before we'll say we'll praise God for it. And here sits Peter in two chains between two soldiers with two more outside the door. He already knows that James has been killed and that he is going to be killed too. And Peter has rest in spite of the boundaries in his life. So don't live your life as if God has to remove every boundary for you to have rest. There is deliverance without release. The next thing we see is that Peter had freedom even while he was in prison. Look at the end of verse 7. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now he's still between two soldiers. He's still locked into some kind of a room or a cell. There's still two more soldiers at the door. But these chains come off his hands. Now, this is yet another proof that we can experience deliverance without release as Peter did. Though four soldiers are guarding him, though he is awakened between two of them and two more at the door, though he is locked up by not one but two chains, still the angel, without incident, is able to free him. Evidently, the soldiers are sleeping too. Or they've gone into a trance. I don't know what happened, but I'm assuming since Peter's sleeping, they're sleeping. You guys ever watch Tom and Jerry? No? Come on now, you've seen Tom and Jerry. And here comes Jerry Mouse. And he needs to get something that Tom has. And he goes and he sneaks in. Tom is sleeping catch, you know. Sneaks in under Tom's paws. And he's going to get the cheese or the key to the cheese, you know. And Tom grabs Jerry instead in his sleep. He closes his eyes. And he thinks that the whatever he was holding is Jerry now, you know. And then Jerry has to wiggle out of that. And he's real fast and he's real slick and he finds something off to the side, a magazine, and as he slicks out, I've seen a lot of Tom and Jerry. He puts the magazine in its place and he gets free. Here comes this angel. And he pokes Peter in the side. Wake up. Get up. Come on. Chains fall off. How'd my chains fall off? How'd you do that? Are you Houdini? And the soldiers, they're just there asleep. They went from hugging up on Peter to stay warm to hugging up on each other to stay warm. And that here tiptoes Peter and the angel right out of this place. Peter has freedom, even though he's still locked in a cell, even though he's still guarded by soldiers. Somehow the angel, without incident, is able to break those chains and free him from them. But some of you here today think that God cannot free you from your chains. But this happened. Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe it's literal? Or do you just think this is a book of good stories? I mean, it's a great story. You take this out of the Bible, you just make it a story out there somewhere. This is fun. It's exciting. It's good. Make a good TV show, you know. It'd be great. I could see the Lone Ranger playing out this very thing. Or Marshall Dillon, you know. This would be great. But no, this is real. This is historical. This is Christian history. In fact, it happened. We believe that it happened. And here we sit this morning and we say, well, that's good, but Peter was special and I'm just me. And here I am bound in these chains myself, and I just don't know if God can let me free from these things. I think he can. Now, we already established that you can have rest even if God doesn't let you out of the chains. But I'm here to tell you he can, and we see in Peter's life that he does. So Peter has rest, though he's in prison. Peter has freedom, even though he's still in the cell. He's let free from the chains. Verse number 8, we see that Peter had direction, though he was just following blindly. Look at verse 8. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. I don't think we'd have had time to get dressed. You know, you just broke those chains off. Let's run before these guys wake up. But the angel says, no, get up, get dressed, put your sandals on. And he said unto them, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Get up, get dressed, follow me. And then did you notice what Peter said there? He said, where? Is that what he said? That's not what he said. Oh, he said, who are you? No, that's not what he said either. Peter didn't say anything. Peter went and did as he had been told. But you know us, we just have to have every single detail before we can feel comfortable following God. preacher preaches it. The Sunday school teacher teaches it. We get it in our morning devotions. We hear it on the radio. Somewhere, somehow, through God's word, we get some sort of direction. And we'll think on it for 14 years before we ever do it. And we'll tell everybody who we can have that conversation with, I feel like the Lord might be leading me to do this. Or I feel like the Lord might. Why don't you just do it? Why don't you stop feeling like the Lord might want you to? And why don't you just try Him? Peter doesn't ask any questions here. Why not just rest in the fact that you trust God and not the details? Stop having to have the details. Stop having to have the who, what, where, when, why, and how, and just say, I've got Him, and if this is what He would have me to do, this is what I'm going to do. Peter's able to have direction in life without ever being given any instruction. Now, we think we can't operate that way, but men, that's how we all drive. We don't get any instruction and we say, oh, I know how to get there. I think it's right over this way. My sense of direction is helping me know that this way. If you've ever been with me between Highway 70S and Bellevue and Charlotte Pike around Chick-fil-A, there's a cut through there. Y'all know this cut through? If you ever been with me over in there, I'll get you more lost. I didn't grow up around here. I've been shown the cut through. I try to take the cut through and I get turned around in the cut through and get lost in the middle of this area. It's not a very big area, but I get lost. Amen, Brother Scotty. Scotty's got places to go and people to see, and he's riding around in circles with me. I think there's a good road right here, Scotty. We can get through here. I don't need directions. I don't need instruction. I know how to go. But spiritually, for some reason, we don't want to do it that way. We want to be told, step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, do this. And the Bible does have a sense of that, but sometimes in life, it is a step of faith. Step one, step out on faith. Step two, bring in foot number two on faith. Why not just trust that you have God and you don't need directions? You don't need instructions. The angel said, so he did in verse number 8. You can be led of God the same way if you would. Then in verse 9 and 10, we see that Peter saw doors open, but he did not know what to do. Verse 9, and he went out and he followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And they were past the first and second ward. They came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, we do this one backwards. We know what we want to do, and then we beg God to open the doors. Be honest. How many of you have ever prayed, God, open this door for me? Lord, this is what I think I want to do. Will you please open this? I've done that too. That's a Christian thing. Break down this wall for me, or open this door for me. You know, Peter is not there at all. Peter is just still wondering, is this for real? It wasn't too long ago in Peter's life that he was up on the rooftop at Simon the Tanner's house, and he kind of nodded off because he was hungry and sleepy, and he had this vision of this sheep coming down. You remember? It wasn't too long ago, God did work through a trance, and here sits Peter thinking, I think the chains just fell right off my hands, but I saw them lock them on me. How could that happen? I think me and an angel, just walked right out of a jail. And we didn't wake up the soldiers, but I still got dressed and we talked. And somehow we got through the door, but the guy at the door didn't know it. And somehow we got through two wards of this jail and we got to an iron gate. Nobody gets through that iron gate. And I think I remember correctly that when we got to it, it just opened up on its own accord. And when we got through, it shut back. And we walked through two streets of the city and then the angel left and here I stand. I think I remember this, but surely this is not the case. So Peter pinches himself, you know. He slaps himself. Wake up, man. You got to wake up. You're dreaming. This may be what God's going to do, but surely this is not the case. Peter is wondering, is this real? Am I having another vision? Peter never sat in jail thinking, I really want to get to Mary's house. So God, if you would just open doors for me, I could get over there. That's not what Peter's thinking at all. In fact, we know exactly what Peter was thinking. He was thinking what most men are thinking at this point in Peter's life. Ladies, you want to know? You know the secret to the man's brain? He's thinking nothing at all. That's usually what most men are thinking. Your spouse looks at you and says, what are you thinking about? What was I doing? Was I doing something I shouldn't have been? I don't know. I wasn't thinking anything. I was watching football. Peter's just sleeping. I mean, I don't want to make too much out of that, but it's funny to me. He's just taking a nap. I mean, I'll deal with this tomorrow. We can't do that, can we? We got to fix it tonight. No way I can sleep tonight if I've got this to fool with tomorrow. I've got to get this worked over in my head. Peter just taking a nap. And then Peter's not sitting around thinking, oh, God, I'd do this if you'd open that door. Oh, God, I'd go there if you'd open that door. God, Peter just followed blindly. The angel said, follow me. And he said, okay. And he still thinks, maybe I'm living in a dream. And here he sees a door open for him. Would you stop going about it backwards? Instead of hoping for doors to open that you see as beneficial, why don't you walk through some doors that are already open and waiting for you? This is the church. We are not the only church. We're not the only ones that are a part of the church, but you attend this local church here in Kingston Springs. Everybody who decides they want to do something in the church starts looking for their thing, my ministry, whatever it is in that respect, in that regard. It's like it's got to be some special thing from heaven, and it might be good for you if it is. But until then, would you stop waiting on that and just get on board with the doors that are already open for you? I can't tell you how many people, you're going to be mad at me right here, just get ready. Can't tell you how many people have come to me and say, boy, I just want to get deeper in the Word. I wish we had a special group. I wish we had something else. And I'm sitting there thinking, as the pastor of this church, saying, well, we have a Sunday morning service. We have a Sunday night service. We have a Wednesday night service. I teach verse by verse through the Word of God in each of those services. And on top of that, we have Sunday school groups, where they'll also teach you the Word of God. Would you stop waiting for special doors to open and just walk through the ones that are there for you? Amen. You know, we'll get up at 5 a.m. before work and go somewhere and sit somewhere and talk to guys about something else. But then want the church to give us something that we expect them to they're not giving us, but is here. We're wanting doors to open. Peter's not sitting around thinking, Lord, I'd serve you if you'd open doors for me. Peter just said, okay, Lord, there they are. I'm going. But we've got this idea that the way the church has traditionally done it just can't be right. So we got to do something new. We got to do something grand. We got to do something exciting. We got to do something different. Why? Why? There's not one good reason for it. Now, if what's happening is not working, then there needs to be a change. But I promise you, what's happening is working. We say, Lord, I'll serve you. If you just give me an opportunity to share the gospel with others. Just present an opportunity to me, Lord. Just anything. I'll just take anything. Just put it in my path. Well, we have a nursing home ministry. There are lost people at the nursing homes. There are saved people who need to be edified. We have prison ministry. There are people who need to be visited in the jails, that need to be talked to, that need to be preached to. We have Good News Club. We have a wide open door into public elementary schools, but we'd rather sit around and gripe about how the government has ruined the schools by taking prayer out instead of showing up at the schools and praying in the schools as we've been allowed to by the government. That's my smile. I'm smiling. I'm happy. Shouldn't preach this on Pastor Appreciation Sunday, should I? I'm ruining it. Hey, I know it's harsh, but can't tell me it's not true. And I realize we have schedules. We have things going on. We have stuff to do. Can I tell you, your schedule is the open door? Stop waiting on God to do something just abnormal in your life and just accept that the normal in your life is His will. That's the point. God didn't have you as a part of Harper Baptist Church on accident. Find what's already going on here. We have 2 pages on our website. How to get involved. How to volunteer. These are good ways to serve the Lord. These are open doors for you to walk through, but we don't want to walk through doors that are already open. We want God to create a special door for us to walk through so we feel special. I don't know. And I'm saying we because I'm just like you. I mean, this is just how we have become in the modern church as Christians. The last thing we see in verse 11 is that Peter had certainty, though he wondered if it were a dream. I don't know about you, but when I think, was this real or was it not, I don't usually have certainty. But look at verse 11. This is right after he said, verse 9, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. Verse 11, he says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. When you allow God to work in your life as he does here, it'll be like you're living a dream. See, that's why we want those doors to open special, because we want to live the dream. What we see in the text here today is when you just go on to walk through the doors that are already open for you, you'll be so satisfied in life that you'll live every day like you're living in dream world. It's a wonderful life to live. When you come to yourself after living the dream life, you'll be sure it was the Lord's work in your life. This is what Peter says. And all of this is through prayer without ceasing. Peter received deliverance. Here, he receives deliverance without release initially. God does not have to remove the physical circumstance to bless you spiritually. Paul taught us that, didn't he? He said, I've got this thorn in the flesh and I want it to be removed, but even if God don't, praise the Lord anyhow. God does not have to remove the physical circumstance to free you, to give you deliverance spiritually. But praise God, here the text goes further and there is physical deliverance as well. Peter should be killed. Peter should remain in jail, but God allows him to get out of jail and keeps him from being killed. Now, we have this idea, if I hadn't already upset you, this is really going to upset you. We have this idea that great things like this only happen when we exercise great faith, right? Because, you know, if we had the faith, if we have great enough faith, we could move mountains. Isn't that how we think? Is that what Jesus said? Not what Jesus said at all. Jesus didn't say if you have great faith. Jesus said if you can have the tiniest little minute particle of faith, you could move mountains, which is an insult to us. He's saying none of you are moving mountains. You don't even have the least tiny little bitty particle of faith. Jesus' teaching there wasn't so much about what we could accomplish through prayer as it was an accusation of how little faith we truly have. And before you tar and feather me, watch the text. These people practice intercession without actually believing. There's this charismatic idea in the church that we've got to have the faith for God to do anything. Well, then who does that put the glory on? You, me. That's not biblical. That's satanic. Now, I go to broad generalizations there. I'm not calling you satanic when you try to have faith. Don't get me wrong. What I'm trying to point out to you is that sometimes in the church we've misunderstood the teachings of Scripture, and Satan has actually deceived the church into practicing the very things that caused him to be cast away from God. Be careful what you do and how you think about the things in the Scripture. That's the point. But notice what happens here. Intercession without believing. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Amen. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. We have our own Rhoda. We do. And Rhoda was their greeter, and Rhoda is our greeter. She sits at our door too. Rhoda's name means? Rose. And that's exactly what it means here. Everybody loves roses. I'm thankful for our Rhoda. But I never draw attention to anybody during my sermon, so. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She got so excited. Oh, it's Peter. I heard him. It's him. And she didn't even let him in the door. She ran to tell everybody else. That's great. I love that. And they said unto her, thou art mad. That wasn't a nice thing to say. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. Intercession without believing. Sometimes my faith is weak. Sometimes I don't believe. Sometimes I believe, but I have to pray to God, help thou mine unbelief. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, increase my faith here. Could I ask you this morning to take the pressure off yourselves a little bit? When somebody asks you to pray for them, they're not asking you to fix their problems. They're just asking you to pray for them so that God can fix their problems. Amen? Can we take the pressure off ourselves a little bit? God does it, not us. This is prayer. This church was interceding in prayer for Peter. And bless their hearts for it. But they honestly did not believe that it would deliver him. They didn't. They had already seen what happened to James, and they assumed the same awaits for Peter. And to their credit, they prayed anyway, but I imagine at best they were praying, Lord, make his final days easy upon this earth. That worked for you? You know, he might have been one odd guy. You know, like that guy who showed up in the drought to pray for rain with his church, and he brought an umbrella. Everybody else didn't. You know, it might have been that one-eyed guy who was saying, now, Lord, I know we're praying that Peter's last days are okay and that he doesn't feel the pain of that sword. But if you could, Lord, I don't even know if I should ask this, but if you could, would you let Peter out? I sure do love hearing him preach. There was that one-eyed guy, maybe, but they were not praying in belief. They were interceding without believing. But God does exceedingly abundant above all that they would ask or think. Well, Peter's out. Where's he going to go? He goes where he thinks they would be praying. Verse 12, he gets there. Rhoda comes to the gate. She's so excited. She runs back. She doesn't let him in. Verse 13 and 14, she tells those praying that Peter is here, and they think she's gone mad. So Peter's just standing outside during all of this. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. Hey, guys, I just broke out of jail. I probably shouldn't be out on the street. Could y'all let me in? I don't want to get caught. Here's poor Peter. You can see him just kind of checking over his shoulder. You know, he's knocking. Please let me in. Y'all were praying for me. I thought surely you'd let me in. I know I'm an escaped convict, but hey, just for tonight maybe. Well, they're so surprised once they go let him in. Verse 16, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You ever wondered why we get astonished when God answers a prayer? Amen. You ever wondered why it just shocks us? Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what happened? I mean, I'm glad we're that way. And I'm not telling you not to be that way, but I'm helping you see the root of the thing here. So many times we are actually interceding without believing, but in our minds we have told ourselves that when we pray, we have to pray with enough faith or it won't happen. Now, I know what James says, and I'm not going against the biblical principle here. The prayer of faith accomplishes much, and praise God when we can. What I'm trying to help you understand here is sometimes even when you don't believe, pray anyhow, watch what God can do in spite of you. Amen. Right. Peter calms him down. He tells them what happened. But what are they so surprised about? I want to credit them and say they are simply glad to see an answered prayer, but there's a little problem with that theory. They've already shown their unbelief in how they dealt with Rhoda. They said, you're going mad, or it's his angel. So what does the Bible teach us there? Be careful how you deal with Rhoda. But they were interceding without believing. I've done it. You've done it. The lesson here is not to make a habit of it. The lesson here is to pray, even when we don't know how to pray or we can't wrap our minds around the solution that we are praying for. The lesson is to pray as we should, trusting God to do what only He could do anyways. The lesson here is to take the emphasis, to take the pressure, to take the responsibility off of you and me and to put it all onto Him. Isn't that what biblical prayer is? I think maybe, just maybe, Peter learned this lesson. Because in his letters, Peter wrote this, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Peter understood that. Well, there are many great lessons to learn from Peter's deliverance. We can learn that God did not deliver Peter until the same night that he was to be taken. What does that teach us? God's deliverance is always timed perfectly. God's never late. We see that Peter was delivered, but poor James was executed. What can we learn from that? God's deliverance is not the same every time for everyone. God's will may not be for you to be delivered. God's will might be for you to die. But even in that, you can have deliverance. Peter's situation was humanly hopeless. We can learn from that God's deliverance is best when we realize that we can do nothing. If you find yourself here today unsaved, you need deliverance. This is the perfect time. You can experience God's deliverance once you give up on yourself. Peter was utterly hopeless. He nor any man could help, and that's just when God saved him. you're here today and you're unsaved, there's deliverance. There's deliverance for you from your sins. Christian, there's deliverance here for you today as well, no matter what you face in this life. You can have rest even in chains. You can have freedom even in prison. You can have direction even though you feel like you're following blindly. You can see doors opened when you think, I don't even know where I'm supposed to be going. You can have certainty. You can have deliverance through prayer. Do you long for deliverance today? I think the primary principle in this text then is, are you neglecting prayer?